from fire safety. Make sure you aren't dumping your hot coals or ashes onto the ground because that could start a wildfire. So take wildfire prevention seriously and let's save the world one day at a time. Juntos con Smokey Bear, podemos hacerlo. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Attention! If you owe money to the IRS, this is an urgent message. The IRS is cracking down by sending out heart-stopping letters, aggressively garnishing paychecks, seizing bank accounts, and putting liens on homes and businesses. They call it enforced compliance, and you better watch out, because penalties and interest on unpaid taxes compound daily, making it seem impossible to ever get out of debt. Don't let the tax debt destroy your life. You need to call Optima Tax Relief, the number one tax resolution firm. They're experts in the Fresh Start Initiative, one of the biggest breaks that the IRS has ever offered. If you qualify, you could save thousands. Optima's resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, they'll fight to get you the best deal possible. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-783-8055. That's 800-783-8055. 800-783-8055.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Conditions going from bad to worse for residents in southeastern Texas, with more than a million customers still without power after Hurricane Beryl mixed with a heat wave. The bulk of them in the Houston area. Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo asking the public to help remove debris and fallen trees for crews.
Many of them have had water damage because of the holes in their homes. They don't have tarp yet over their homes. They don't have help yet pulling those trees off of the homes.
Power crews say it could be until Monday before the bulk of power is restored. President Biden campaigning in Michigan today. It comes as a growing list of Democrats are still calling for the president to step aside as the party's nominee. Defense attorneys in the Alec Baldwin Russ trial filing a motion to dismiss the case, accusing prosecutors of withholding evidence. The judge released the jury and is weighing the motion. Baldwin is accused of involuntary manslaughter and the onslaught shooting death of the movie's cinematographer. This is ABC News. The Beastie Boys take on Chili's in a new lawsuit.
In 1994, the Beastie Boys put out their song Sabotage, along with a great music video that paid tribute to 70s cop shows. So when Chili's put out a commercial with Sabotage in the background, also paying tribute to 70s cop shows, right down to the shag wigs and aviator sunglasses, the boys from Brooklyn said no. Founding member Adam Yauch died in 2012. His estate and the two remaining members are suing Chili's. They want a jury trial and money for copyright infringement on both the song and the video. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
An entire pod of 77 pilot whales has died after washing ashore on a beach off the coast of Scotland in what could be the biggest mass stranding in decades. Experts say they still don't know what caused that stranding, but they say it's likely one of the whales was in distress and the rest of the pod followed that troubled whale to help. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Presenting Again Fling's Love Story. Dear love of my life, we were on the 12B bus this morning when I caught a whiff. A scent so fresh, so life-changing, I had to find its source. Alas, I didn't know if you were the woman in the pink freshly washed cardigan or the retired mailman next to me, but I knew one of you was my soulmate. Ah, the scent of Gain Flings. Try Gain Flings with OxyBoost and Febreze.
Summer's just getting started, so fill your cooler with the smooth and refreshing taste of Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. It tastes like real iced tea because it's made with real brewed tea. And with a 5% kick of alcohol, Twisted Tea is perfect for the beach, the lake, or wherever you're hanging out and day drinking with your friends. Look for the bright yellow cans. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Keep it twisted.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayler. The Wisconsin Elections Commission Thursday unanimously approved new best practices for clerks regarding the use of absentee ballot drop boxes. Commissioner Ann Jacobs spoke to the need for boxes to be secure.
If they've got a hook in the ground and they've got a giant chain around it to secure it, is it permanently affixed to the ground or the side of the building? we would say, like, well done, that's pretty secure.
In addition to being secure, commissioners are recommending that drop boxes be placed in well-lit areas and that they're emptied often. The best practices are not requirements. The state Supreme Court's liberal majority recently ruled drop boxes can again be used in Wisconsin. Protesters say they'll proceed as planned at next week's Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, composed of more than 70 groups and organizations. The Coalition to March on the RNC sued after Milwaukee officials refused to permit a march inside the convention's security zone. A U.S. District Court judge did not grant an injunction, but the group maintains it'll march within sight and sound of the Fiserv Forum. On Thursday, the American Civil Liberties Union sent a letter reminding law enforcement agencies of their responsibility to respect the constitutional rights of demonstrators. Bond was set at $10 million Wednesday for a man accused in the Independence Day shooting death of a Columbia County business owner.
Police say 22-year-old Jonathan Luna shot and killed 42-year-old Jose Fuentes Hernandez in downtown Columbus. Hernandez owned Tequila's Bar and Grill. Criminal complaint says the two had a brief fight at a bar. Luna went to his apartment and then got his gun, returned to the bar, and waited for Hernandez to leave. Once outside, Hernandez was shot. Luna was captured at an Eastside hotel in Madison before he had a chance to leave the state. Robin Colbert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between. Find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Sitting comfortably hot today as high temperatures flirt with 90 degrees. The humidity holds off from sneaking in until tomorrow. That's, of course, when showers and thunderstorm chances really start to increase. And some of them have the potential to be severe, especially late tomorrow night. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 84 degrees at our studios.
Well, thank you for joining us here today on AOA, Agriculture of America. Great to have you along for the conversation about issues impacting farming, ranching, and rural America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Got a great show lined up for you here today. Coming up in segment two, we're going to go over the latest meat demand monitor results with Dr. Glenn Tonsor from Kansas State University. Always like to take a look at that MDM each and every month, and so we'll catch up with Glenn coming up here at segment two and get a rundown of what those latest meat demand monitor numbers and the trends, what are they saying? In segment three, a brand new independent study of the beef checkoff and the ROI, the return on investment for producers for the beef checkoff, has been conducted. We're going to learn more about that study with the author, Dr. Harry Kaiser from Cornell University, is going to join us coming up here in segment three. And we'll take a look at Ag News headlines coming up here at the end of the show as well. Let's talk markets to kick things off ahead of a July World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates report on Friday and a pretty bearish trend that has been going on here this past week in the grains. Let's welcome in David Brock with the Brock Report to the show for the first time. David, thanks for joining us here on AOA. Hope you're doing well.
Doing well, Jesse. Thanks for having me today.
Well, these grain markets, corn, soybeans in particular, it's been a tough week. I know a lot of farmers are just not real thrilled with some of this price action we've seen in futures. Yeah, I think soybeans in particular, we've lost like 50-some cents here in a matter of days. I mean, talk about this overall bearish trend and what you've been seeing as you look at these row crop markets, David.
Yeah, I mean, it's been relentless. I mean, since the end of May, we've watched new crop corn fall 85 cents and new crop beans fall about $1.50. And I know a lot of the attention, particularly today, is going to be on the USDA report, the acreage and all that. But I mean, the real story is how much grain we've got left over from last year. I mean, the on-farm stocks for corn are the highest they've ever been in history. And we're sitting with 700 to 800 million bushels more than we've had the previous 3 years. Same story for beans. I mean, on-farm stocks are high. Total stocks have really only been surpassed by the years 2019, 2020. And I mean, those were years that we were bouncing, you know, around $9. So, you know, as much as we are focused on acres and the good production coming up, I mean, the real issue is how much stocks we've got in the country.
Well, and with those stocks, we don't really have the demand out there either necessarily. China's been pretty absent from the U.S. market, and there's just been a lot of talk about, you know, all this supply and all this potential supply coming with this crop and not really enough demand. Corn's maybe been the one bright spot for U.S. grain demand, David.
Yeah, demand's been all right for corn. I mean, corn really just has a supply issue. I mean, the demand is, you know, kind of normal, basically. Soybeans have a supply and demand issue. I mean, exports have been pretty poor. I mean, we're on pace to meet the USDA target, but the USDA target is extremely low. It's like 15% below last year. And we're off to an awful start for next year. I mean, at this point last year, we had sold more soybeans to China than we've sold, period, for next marketing year at this point. And they've just entered the market in a very, very modest way. So things aren't looking good for soybean export demand going forward. I mean, crush is good, but that's built into the balance sheet. It's a real, real tough picture for soybeans. And, you know, with how much soybeans move, I know 1060, about where we're trading at now, sounds awful compared to $13 and $14 that we've seen recently. But, you know, we got to remember last time we had these kind of stocks, we were trading between, you know, 815 and, you know, 930, 945. So it's a tough picture for beans for sure.
We're talking with David Brock from the Brock Report here today on AOA. So as we look at this tough picture, there's a lot of talk about price levels now are under the cost of production. And you mentioned the large on-farm stocks right now. I mean, how do producers navigate this? I have said multiple times on this show and others that you got to be a smart marketer, it feels like, in this price environment right now. I mean, what would you say in general to folks as they're staring down the barrel at some of these poor prices below the cost of production?
Well, I mean, you've picked one of the worst days in the last 5 years to have me on the radio and ask that question. I mean, it is tough. I think the thing to keep in mind for marketers right now is that this is not really a time, I think, to be doing a lot of marketing and making a lot of big decisions. I mean, the bottom line is, yes, things are extremely bearish. No matter where you look, no matter who you listen to, things are very bearish. And the market knows that. It's built into prices. So I think we're getting to a point where most, hopefully, all of this bearish news is built into the market, and we're going to get hit with some more bearish news this afternoon, corn for sure. And so what we're hoping for is a positive reaction to bearish news. That's typically how markets bottom. So, you know, I do think that we're in the bottom quarter of the price range that we're going to see for the rest of this year. And, you know, what I've been preaching for the last several months is, I mean, the fundamentals are bearish. So when you get rallies, I mean, you can't look back at the chart and where prices have been. I mean, any rallies we get are probably going to be pretty short-lived, especially when you consider the amount of on-farm storage. It's either going to take lower prices or higher prices to shake bushels out of bins right now. And so if we do get some rallies, I'd do some marketing there. And speaking of the stocks, another thing I've been preaching recently is I am very negative on basis between now and harvest. All these bushels, not all of them, a lot of bushels are going to have to move into elevators between now and harvest. And so whatever shakes that loose, when that starts flying out, I think basis is going to crash. And if the markets rally, I think basis is going to crash. So this is a year that you need to be separating your basis decisions from your cash decisions or futures decisions. So if, you know, there's good basis, you know, in a lot of the country right now. So if you have that and you can do some basis contracts, I think that's a place to start.
Definitely. I just think just in general, we got about 90 seconds here. The overall mood in the ag economy in particular is not overwhelmingly great. Deere announcing more layoffs here yesterday in Iowa for in particular. I mean, it just feels like across the ag sector as a whole and the mood of farmers and ranchers, whether they're saying it or not, there's plenty of caution right now. And it sounds like that's what you need to do is be a little cautious in this window, right?
Yep. I think so. And I mean, you got to remember that commodities are cyclical. We're coming off a few really good years. You know, there's going to be a few bad ones. you know, our audience is older. They've been through this before. They know how it goes.
Low prices can cure low prices, just like high prices cure high prices. The old sayings go. David, great stuff. If folks want to check out your guys' analysis, reach out for questions and things like that. I know they can find you very easily online. Where can they get in touch with you guys?
Yeah, just head to brockreport.com. People a lot smarter than me are doing the right in there, so really good content there.
brockreport.com for more information. And with that, David Brock from the Brock Report, appreciate you being on with us here on AOA. Definitely won't be the last time. We'll have you back on the show again in the future. Thanks for joining us today.
All right, thanks, Jesse.
Fantastic stuff there. David Brock with the Brock Report joining us here on AOA today. All right, coming up next, we're going to take a look at the latest set of numbers for the Meat Demand Monitor. That is put out by Kansas State University in partnership with the Beef and Pork Checkoffs. Dr. Glenn Tonsor from Kansas State University is going to join us next to talk about the latest MDM here on AOA, Agriculture of America. We have some exciting news to share. The National Corn Growers Association, along with AOA, are heading back to Washington, D.C. for the monthly grind. Tune in on Tuesday, July 18th for our special year anniversary episode. I'll be broadcasting live from Corn Congress in Washington, D.C., and we'll be reflecting on the year and what's ahead, along with current priorities of NCGA's Market Development Action Team. Make sure to listen to AOA on Tuesday, July 18th. It's a show you don't want to miss. Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, as we discuss how cooperatives support farmers and ranchers and build strong communities. Each week, we'll chat with voices from throughout the cooperative system. From global market access to local expertise, we'll explore how co-op ownership means you own a world of opportunities. Tune in on Tuesdays or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
This. Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Rugged outside, comfort inside. Working outside all day, you want to be in control. And TYM Tractors puts you in control with the TYM Climate Control Cab. This cab is designed with your comfort in mind, with temperature controls, plenty of headroom, and noise reduction. Rugged comfort that makes tough jobs a little bit easier. Work smarter, not harder. But you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers, like Synergy Cooperative, Highway 25 in Ridgeland.
America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
All right, well, let's turn our attention to the meat sector. We talked grains there in segment one. Let's talk about proteins. Joining us now to look at the latest results for the Meat Demand Monitor for June 2024. Kansas State University's Dr. Glenn Tonsor is with us here on the show. Glenn, welcome back to AOA. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on again, Jesse.
You bet. You bet. We like to take a look at the MDM each and every month and take a look at some of the data that you guys find and the trends, et cetera. And looking at this overall trend, it feels like a little more of the same that we've been talking about for the past few months here, Glenn, when it's kind of a shift from that, you know, food away from home to more food at home is kind of what it sounds like. What's kind of that overall overarching theme that you found here this month?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, I'll get specific to the MDM in a minute, but I will interject. There's been a couple of USDA ERS reports in the last month that allude to the same thing. And again, to be clear here, is sort of this move to at-home consumption. I think what's underpinning that more general, you know, get beyond meat even for a moment, is the cost of having a meal, right, has gone up quite a bit away from home. Labor rates and other factors, of course, are part of that. And at the same time, quite a few households have become either cautious or just outright pessimistic on their household finances. So they're being conservative with how they spend their dollars a little bit. So they're eating at home a little more. So that's not unique to the meat sector, is why I start there with us, Jesse. Mm-hmm. But specific to the June meat demand monitor that you're alluding to, pretty much, you know, across the board for meat, so 6 of the 8 categories and really all of the major meat protein categories we watch, retail demand, so grocery store for demand for at-home consumption, was higher in June than it was in May. But basically the opposite story I would tell you for food service. So demand was lower away from home, specifically dinner meal restaurant is what we track there. And I think I alluded to kind of summarize what those macro forces are. One of these days, I think that might change. You know, the most recent inflation print was lower. There's actually chatter now about Federal Reserve changing, you know, course on the rates in our country and so forth. Maybe we'll see that, you know, by the end of the year spill over into some renewed optimism, and maybe we'll get a boost in food service demand. But we've definitely had a pullback in recent months.
Well, and I can echo that firsthand. Just last night, my wife and I went out and just went to a nice casual place to listen to some music and have dinner. It was, you know, kind of that typical, you know, bar restaurant type food, a burger and fries, some pickle chips and 2 beverages. It was a $50 bill. I mean, that's getting spendy.
Yeah. And it's not $50 because you gave a $20 tip, right? To be clear.
Exactly.
It's you know, the base is up, and yeah, there's real consequences, right, to labor markets and other things that are play there. And the economist in me says, I'm not surprised by any of this. But people are making personal decisions and they're consuming at home more. So I think that has some staying power.
Yeah. And so you break down some of those individual categories, you know, and you look at, say, for retail, for instance, between beef, pork, chicken, are some of those trends still kind of staying the same here this month?
Yeah. If anything, the strength grew in beef. The boost in both steak and ground beef demand, where you can put it on a percentage basis, was a little higher on beef and a little higher on pork than it was chicken. We've had past months where beef and or pork were flat or down and chicken was up. Some of that substitution we've talked about before, but that really wasn't the case. I'm talking retail specifically in June versus May. There's a grilling effect to that. You know, here in a minute, we're going to talk about some grilling insights from this report. But I think in particular, beef steaks and pork chops saw a nice bump in June, which is nice to see.
Anything on that food service side as well, if you break down the individual proteins?
No, that I would call that more uniform. So we kind of had a pullback kind of regardless of whether I'm talking a beef, pork, or chicken breast kind of item. The demand measures were all down at a fairly consistent rate. And again, I think that's a foot traffic story, not a shift within the restaurant story.
I know with the MDM each month, you guys take a look at prior day meals as well as value and issues awareness, taste, freshness, et cetera. Yep. Any big changes in any of those categories this month?
So you're right. Not only do we ask, you know, prior day meals, we do it separately for breakfast, lunch, and dinner and where you had it. And to reinforce what I just got done saying is the rate of at-home consumption was higher for breakfast, lunch, and dinner in June compared to May. So this is not unique to one meal. The shift that we're spending our time talking about today is the point of that. We often eat our lunch away from home for work, but even at the margin, there's less of that than the past. The protein values you talked about, kind of steady as she goes. Taste, freshness, price, and safety are routinely the 4 most important things when it comes to making a protein purchasing decision.
No big shift there month to month, and that's not new. Those things tend to be pretty stable. The relative importance of price is higher than it was 2 years ago, but it's mitigated a little bit from kind of the extreme during our elevated inflation period.
We're talking with Dr. Glenn Tonsor from Kansas State University here today on AOA, going over the June 2024 Meat Demand Monitor results, the MDM. We take a look at this every month here on the show. You mentioned this. I want to talk about some of that ad hoc questioning you guys had here this month, looking at grilling season. We're in the heart of summer grilling season, Glenn. What were some of the things you guys asked this month, and what did you find?
Yeah, so, you know, arguably three of the most common things thrown on the grill, and I'm trying to kind of get one item for each major species, are beef steaks, pork chops, and chicken breast. So for each of those three categories, we asked a very simple question, you know, in the past month, which of these following, you know, I'll call them efforts or activities, did you use? You usually use when you're doing at-home preparation. And first, I want to give a kind of a quick summary is all three of those products, again, beef steaks, pork chops, and chicken breast, over three-fourths of the public add salt, pepper, or another seasoning before or during cooking. That's not surprising, but what I want to interject is that's pretty common across kind of regardless of which protein you're preparing. Where things get a little more interesting is beef steak, it's much more common that people are intentionally buying something with more fat, either on the outside or internally via marbling, compared to pork chops and chicken breast, it's much less common. That's not surprising, but the role of, you know, fat as a flavor add-on is a bigger deal in beef is the point there. Conversely, we also see the role of adding a barbecue or another type of sauce is a much more prevalent activity for chicken breast than it is for beefsteak or pork chops. We can kind of break apart some of the implications that you want, but what I want to impress on your listeners is lots of people add salt, pepper, or another kind of seasoning from a shaker, so to speak. But after that, there's some pretty notable differences in how people prepare these major items at home.
Very interesting. I mean, yeah, you think about it, and some of those do definitely make sense. No surprise there, Glenn. But it's interesting how some of these different varieties of meats, you know, people might, you know, prepare things this way or look at things a certain way. It's always interesting to kind of break some of these different things down.
Yeah. And so is a product, you know, carrier of taste on its own, or is it a carrier for a sauce we add, right? Is the discussion that comes up there also. If you think about that comment on beef, you know, the intentional buying of something with more fat, the hog industry has a couple decade experience of trying to get a leaner product, and there is a place for that. But we're sitting here now at a time where part of that trend is being reversed. Earlier this week, I was at the National Pork Industry Conference there in Wisconsin Dells. Great meeting for those that are listening that want to attend in the future. We talked about some of this stuff there in one of our breakouts. There is a call by some in our, you know, consuming public to bring back actually a little bit more fat in our pork products. So we'll see as this evolves over time if that intentional buying of fat, you know, not buying fat, buying products with some additional fat, grows on those pork chops.
I should ask as well, I mean, thinking we're talking summer grilling season here, I know traditionally there could be a little seasonality once we get past the 4th of July that demand can maybe weaken just a touch, markets can kind of weaken, things like that. Do you anticipate some of that same seasonality to take hold here potentially this month?
I think it's very possible. And before we got online, you know, you and I were comparing weather notes, and the next, you know, 72 hours are not going to be for the faint of heart. Grills are going to be used, but we're not going to be hovering over the grill, right? If it's 100 degrees, much less 110 actual heat index. If to the extent July is really warm, that will slow grilling, right? So it's still better than being outside when it's, you know, 0 degrees per se, because you can still technically do it, but no people. Most don't enjoy it is the point of that comment. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be less likely to do it. So if in fact July ends up quite hot and or we have a lot of road traffic for vacations, TSA set a record over the 4th of July for number of people flying. That also tends to, you know, interject here. We're not going to be at home grilling if we're away on vacation either. So yeah. I expect a seasonal pullback for sure.
Well, this conversation, as always, each and every month has made me hungry now. So I got to think about what's going on the grill tonight. Folks can take a look at the agmanager.info for the latest results and the past results of the meat demand monitor. Again, agmanager.info for more. And with that, Dr. Glenn Tonsor with Kansas State University. Glenn, thanks for joining us on AOA today. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right, coming up next, we're going to take a look at a new independent study looking at the ROI of the beef checkoff with Dr. Harry Kaiser from Cornell University next on AOA. On the July episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association, we celebrated the anniversary of the Monthly Grind partnership with AOA and also talked about the role of the Market Development Action Team with Chair Denny Vinaconner of Ohio and Vice Chair Chad Epler of Kansas.
We got a wide portfolio all the way from livestock. That's one of our big customers. Exports, a third of our corn practically gets exported, and then new uses. Corn's used in thousands of different ways, and we got to keep coming up with new ways to use it.
We have to remember that we can't do this alone. So anytime that we have increases in meat and poultry products also means an increase in corn exports. For us, our job is to make sure that corn is moved. That doesn't necessarily have to be just in the kernel form. It could be in the form of poultry. It could be in the form of pork. It could be in the form of beef.
Join us the first Wednesday of the month for the Monthly Grind on AOA and learn more at ncga.com.
You're listening to a...
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Milk markets were lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, August milk down 28 to 1969, September down 26 to 2011, October down 11 to 2029, November milk down 3 at 1999. Meanwhile, live and feeder cattle markets were higher. Friday's WASD report was supportive to both beef and cattle markets for the rest of 2024. Beef production was increased by 65 million pounds, though the number of cows being processed has been reduced because of availability. That did help to support the markets as well. Now, hog markets were higher. More midday pork cutout values were higher, and traders finally have established a new support plane that they can trade above. That helped to support the hog market. August live cattle up 12 cents to 182.37. August feeder cattle up 250 to 258.65. July hogs up 15 cents to 88.90. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets were relatively higher. Soybeans lower. Wheat also lower after the WASD report. Now, the crop report showed that old crop corn stocks came in at 1.87 billion bushels, down 145 million bushels from last month. The trade was expecting some larger stocks. Meanwhile, soybeans and wheat, the WASD report, pretty bearish for them. New crop corn up 4 to 414 and 3 quarters. New crop beans down 2.5 to 1065 and a quarter.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, joining us now here on the program, a brand new economic analysis, an independent analysis of the National Beef Checkoff Program, has found that each dollar invested creates a total benefit of over $13 for producers and importers who pay into the program. That study conducted by Dr. Harry Kaiser of Cornell University. And he joins us here today on the show to explain more about the study. And Dr. Kaiser, thanks for being with us here today. I know you're traveling and making your way through Chicago's O'Hare Airport, but able to catch a few minutes of time with you today and tell us more about the study. So thanks for being with us. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, Jesse. And it's a pleasure to be here. So basically, there were three objectives of the study. Two of them were similar to the last study that I did 5 years ago. And the third objective was brand new to the, for the checkoff program. So the first objective of the study, which was also always the objective of these evaluation studies, is to see whether or not the checkoff program has a significant and substantial impact on demand, both domestic demand for beef and foreign demand, foreign market demand for U.S. beef. And the results showed that the program had a substantial impact on both. More specifically, what we found was that the domestic activities increase the demand for domestic beef by approximately $2.4 billion on average per year, which works out to an 8.5% increase. In other words, had there not been a program, domestic demand for beef would have been 8.5% lower than it actually was. On the foreign market side, the demand in the seven countries and regions that are the most important beef importers for U.S. beef, we found that the program, combined with FAS dollars, USMEF dollars, and of course the National Beef Checkoff and state program dollars, increased demand for U.S. beef by 11.5%, so it was even higher. The second objective was to was more bottom line in nature, to look at the direct impact of the programs on beef producers and beef importers' bottom line profits. And here we found the rate of return of every dollar invested returned $13.41 back to these stakeholders of this very important program. And finally, the third objective was to look at the indirect benefits of these programs to the general macro economy. And a lot of people don't realize this, but there are big positive spillover effects from things that generate incremental income in the economy. And what I found was the direct impact on the beef sector was that it added $3.3 billion to the national beef sector. In other words, had we not had a national beef checkoff program, total revenue, total farm revenue, I should say, would have been $3.3 billion, less than it actually was. We plug that number into what's called an input-output model, and what we find is that that $3.3 billion direct impact added almost $10 billion to the national economy. So there's a multiplier effect. There's employment that's created. There's tax revenue that's created from having the checkoff program. And that was a new aspect of the study, which I believe was one of the more interesting contributions.
Well, let's talk a little bit more. Maybe how about some of the different checkoff activities that you measured? Which ones had the greatest impact on the ROI that you found?
Well, we only calculated one ROI for all the activities. Okay. But I did look at nine activities, and I looked at how they impacted demand. But at the end, it was determined that we would want to look at the overall ROI. So basically, you know, the usual suspects. Advertising had a very large impact of all the activities. Channel marketing, public relations, and so forth. And it was fairly remarkable that that they all had about the same level of impact. So when I say advertising had the highest impact, it wasn't that much different. So I was kind of surprised at how similar the impacts of these activities were.
How about as well, let's talk about looking at the ROI here a little bit. I wonder, how does the beef checkoff ROI compare with other checkoffs ROIs? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. That's always the first question that board members and producers ask me is, well, that's good ROI, but how do we compare? So what I did was I looked at 21 fairly recent studies of all the major and some of the minor commodities, and the median ROI in those studies was a little bit over 6-1, meaning that half the studies had ROIs below 6-1 and half the studies had ROIs higher than 6-1. So clearly the beef checkoff being double the median is on the very high side of how the ROIs that have been computed for these programs.
We're talking with Dr. Harry Kaiser of Cordell University and talking about a new independent economic analysis of the beef checkoff program. I know there's a lot of talk out there in the broader economy right now, for instance, inflation, deflation, recession, you name it. There's a lot going on. What are your thoughts on what maybe the next ROI study could look like in 5 years? If checkoff producers are still getting a dollar a head and the value of the dollar goes dramatically lower or higher, whatever the case is, how could the overall economy maybe change the ROI here?
The overall economy will not really change the ROI because the ROI is based on comparing two scenarios that only differ by one scenario has the checkoff program in it and one scenario does not. And so the difference between the two scenarios is simply the checkoff program. So in other words, if there's inflation, if the value of the dollar goes down, if income goes down, that will go down in both scenarios. Because after all, we're interested only in capturing the impact of the checkoff program. And so the answer is it won't have an impact. The other thing I'll say, by the way, though, you mentioned inflation. When you have data over time, you need to account for that. And I do. So all monetary variables in my model, income, prices of chicken, prices of beef, prices of pork, et cetera, generic advertising, et cetera, are deflated or put into real inflation-adjusted terms. So inflation basically will not have an impact on my calculation of the ROI.
What if the checkoff return was doubled? Producers get a dollar right now. What if it became $2? What would that do to the ROI?
Excellent question. It would decrease the ROI, but it would not. My guess is that the ROI would fall from, $13.41. It would fall from that. I don't know how much it would fall. And the reason it would fall, it still would be good to double it. Because basically what this result is saying is, hey, this checkoff program is very profitable to the beef industry. And by beef industry, I mean beef producers and beef importers. And so it would make sense. And I mentioned that at the meeting, but I also am realistic enough to understand that there are a lot of political constraints to doing that. But that really is the message, is that it should be increased. But if you increase it, the ROI will come down. But I would guess that if you doubled it, it would still be well above zero. The ROI would be, maybe it'd be 5-1.
Well, looking through the numbers, and I know folks will be able to take a look at these online. We'll share links to things as well. I guess, Dr. Kaiser, to kind of sum this up, what would you say to producers who are paying into the beef checkoff right now and they're looking at numbers like this and wondering what their return on investment is? What would be the big take-home message you would have for them with this new study?
The soundbite would be, you're getting a really good bang for your buck. And you know, all of the studies that I've looked at on different commodities, all commodities have very good rates of return. And that's not surprising. I mean, it basically tells you that these programs work. But the beef program has a very high ROI. And I think the take-home message is keep doing the good work. I mean, that is a key for a healthy industry to have build demand and build prices, et cetera. That is really the key to having a healthy and sustainable industry.
Well, again, the new economic analysis of a five-year period, 2019 through 2023, finds that the beef checkoff program brings back a total financial benefit of $13.41 for producers and importers who pay into the program. And we've been talking about that study today with Dr. Harry Kaiser of Cornell University. And Dr. Kaiser, thanks for joining us on the program. We appreciate the time. We'll look forward to talking again in the future.
Thank you, Jesse. It was my pleasure.
All right. Coming up next here on AOA, we'll take a look at Ag News headlines. We'll get some updates on the flash drought damaging crops in the Carolinas and also how election politics tainted the most recent House Ag hearing intended to focus on government regulations' impact on producers. Those stories and more coming up next here on AOA. Back after this.
I'm Jenny Garth.
No one knows the importance of a great assist more than Lowe's and Leo Messi. That's why we've teamed up to give My Lowe's Rewards members 10 times the points when Messi makes an assist during CONMEBOL Copa America USA 2024. Activate this offer starting June 20th, so when Messi assists, you score. Shop the day after an assist to earn those extra points. Not a My Lowe's Rewards member? Join for free today. Visit Lowe's.com/Messi for more details.
Guess what, people? Wendy's has new saucy nugs. You heard me. Wendy's nugs now come in 7 saucy flavors. Buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, spicy ghost pepper. You can literally hear your taste buds after every bite. I'm serious. Listen to mine. Okay, that's just me playing with sound effects, but you get the idea. For a whole new way to nug, gotta be Wendy's.
Gotta be fresh.
At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that wasn't your fault, we have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions. They'll tell you if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-205-5350. So if you've been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, call now. Find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-205-5350 to speak with a live person now.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
The smarter way to clean your floors. It's time to make the swap. Swiffer Power Mop.
Introducing the new Swiffer Power Mop. The all-in-one tool that gives you a mop and bucket clean in half the time. The solution's built right in, so no heavy bucket. And the pad has hundreds of scrubbing strips to get deep into grout. Don't mop harder, mop smarter.
Swiffer Power Mop. Swiffer Power Mop.
Benefits of cooperative ownership. Today, Jake Shelton, a crop nutrient expert with CHS, will provide in-season crop nutrient strategies to boost yield potential. Jake, heavy spring rains in much of the Corn Belt likely resulted in fertilizer loss. What steps can farmers take to provide crops with needed nutrients?
In-crop nutrient applications are somewhat dependent upon the crop stage and application equipment. The most effective way to apply larger amounts of needed in-crop nutrients, like, say, sulfur and nitrogen, would be through side dress applications with liquid or dry fertilizers early in the growing season. Later on in the season, as we approach the reproductive stages, typically the most effective way to apply fertility products is through foliar applied fertilizers.
What crop nutrients will likely be in demand this summer and why?
Yeah, whenever we experience excessive moisture like much of the Corn Belt has this spring, the first nutrient that comes to mind is nitrogen. So growers can be susceptible to nitrogen loss through both leaching and denitrification whenever the soils are saturated. With nitrogen playing such a significant role in yield potential, I'd highly recommend nitrogen being the starting point when someone's thinking about making an in-season fertility application. Sulfur and boron are both two nutrients that are mobile in the soil as well. So whenever we experience saturated or waterlogged soils, there's likely a need for supplemental sulfur and boron as well.
Tissue testing can help determine nutrient needs. What testing strategies do you recommend?
Once we visually see nutrient deficiencies in a crop, that tells us that we've already lost at least some amount of yield. So I'm a huge proponent of tissue testing on a regular occurrence during the growing season, whether that be monthly, bi-weekly, and in some cases even weekly. Tissue testing provides data for us to make informed decisions about potential in-season applications, but also provides us with some insight into potential tweaks that we can make going into our pre-plant fertilizer application for the next year.
That's Jake Shelton with CHS on Around the Table. Learn more about the benefits of cooperative ownership at cooperativeownership.com.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA here today as we take a look at Ag News headlines. Well, House Ag leaders launched a fusillade of election season accusations against each other at a hearing intended to focus on government regulations' impact on producers. It was an uncharacteristic attack against the chairman.
His stubborn refusal to engage on a bipartisan farm bill is irresponsible for the American people, especially our farmers.
But top House Ag Democrat David Scott of Georgia didn't end his tirade against Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson of Pennsylvania there.
This willingness to delay the bill, to play election year politics, is selfish. It's disrespectful to our farmers who depend on us for their livelihoods.
And then this, weeks after a bipartisan farm bill markup and days before party conventions.
My feeling is Speaker Johnson will not bring this bill to the floor for a vote because it was not written as a serious bill. It was written to be used as a campaign slogan.
Now, Chairman Thompson finally got a chance to respond.
There's a lot I could say, but I'm not going to say anything. We're going to move ahead with this hearing and stay grounded in reality.
Which Thompson sees as agency overregulation of herbicides, meat processing, and wetlands.
Well, Biden's USDA spends millions to supposedly expand meat and poultry processing capacity. His EPA is simultaneously proposing rules that would shutter processing plants and impose significant compliance costs across industries vital to food affordability.
Now, separately, House appropriators sent the GOP's fiscal year 2025 spending plan for USDA to the full House, paring nearly $2.7 billion, or almost 9.5%, off the president's budget request. The $26 billion bill targets administration priorities, SNAP, equity, and climate, but also includes a Democratic rider to prevent a voluntary state SNAP pilot to restrict unhealthy food choices. Corn growers were responsible for a $151 billion boost to the U.S. economy in 2023, according to a new report released this week by the National Corn Growers Association. The report, entitled NCGA Economic Contribution Study for 2023, looked at a number of ways in which corn growers shaped the economy, including economic output, contributions to the gross domestic product, tax revenues, labor income, and employment statistics. NCGA lead economist Krista Swanson, who authored the analysis, says, quote, this report highlights the crucial role America's corn growers play in our nation's agricultural and economic value chain. The data show that growers remain deeply rooted in rural America, where they serve as pillars of economic growth. They work to foster technological innovation, expand commercial opportunities, advance free trade, build the bioeconomy, and feed a hungry world, end quote. Now in 2023, U.S. corn farmers produced 15.3 billion bushels of corn valued at $73.9 billion across 289,382 farms dedicated to growing corn for grain, according to the report. Corn grower production directly contributed $20.7 billion to the gross domestic product and provided $12 billion in labor wages and benefits. The economic impact of corn farming extended across 524 different industry sectors in all 50 states, reinforcing its broad influence on the national economy. You can take a look at the full report online at ncga.com. Well, grain prices have fallen to their lowest level since COVID-19. A new Bloomberg report shows that this year's losses have extended to 17%, with grains trading at the lowest point since 2020. It's a sharp reversal from the post-COVID rally that saw grain prices more than double through 2022. University of Illinois ag economist Scott Irwin says the falling grain prices could mean significant financial losses for producing corded soybeans this year. Irwin says, quote, regardless of the fine details of crop insurance and government payments, alarm bells should be going off about the scale of potential corded soybean losses for the 2024 crop in the Corn Belt. Right now, the losses look punishing due to the combination of rising expenses in recent years and the significant drop in corn and soybean prices, end quote. And Irwin also adds that corn losses could surpass $200 per acre and soybean losses could easily reach $98 per acre. Well, also, a flash drought has already damaged much of the corn crop in North and South Carolina to the point of no return. But the market has not reacted. Market analyst Brooks Schaefer with Pinnacle Marketing explains why.
So the Southeast swings above its weight on the demand side. We're one of the biggest users of corn, really anywhere in the world with all the livestock that we feed. But as far as production, we don't move the needle very much on production. Our comparative advantage is that we can sell our crop for a higher price, but we don't affect the world price or the Chicago price very much. So when we face a situation like this where we have a shortfall, where we have production issues, it doesn't move the market very much in Chicago. The local price will be affected in the basis, but as far as the Chicago price, it doesn't really take note very much of production issues that we have down here.
Now, Schaefer says there's another part of the country to watch that will probably have a greater impact on the markets.
That's what it looks like at this point. We're far from having a crop made in the Midwest as well. While the condition ratings are above average right now, there are production issues in the Western Belt. They're having too much rain, and the Eastern Belt, they're dry. But that'll move the market more than what's happening in the Southeast.
Well, some farmers were reading the tea leaves and saw an opportunity with increasing tobacco acres this year. But with the worsening drought, Schaefer says that may not pay off now either.
And we're talking a little out of my area of expertise, but I do watch the tobacco market, and the market has been strengthening the last couple of years. And this, we are a big producer of tobacco in the world market, and that will affect the world price on issues that we have in the Southeast on tobacco.
Once again, that's comments with Brooks Schaefer, grain market analyst with Pinnacle Marketing. As of the July 8th crop progress report, 73% of North Carolina's corn crop was rated in poor to very poor condition. Well, with that, we're out of time here on AOA today. Coming up on our next program, we'll take a look at markets with Darren Newsom from Bar Chart. Also get a look at weather with DTN meteorologist Teresa Wells in for John Baranek again here on the next program. We'll talk about some different tips for managing cattle during the summer with Madison Kavarna from South Dakota State University Extension. And we'll talk about the latest equipment sales numbers with Kurt Blades from the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. Thanks for listening to AOA. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day. We have some exciting news to share. The National Corn Growers Association, along with AOA, are heading back to Washington, D.C. for the monthly grind. Tune in on Tuesday, July 18th for our special year anniversary episode. I'll be broadcasting live from Corn Congress in Washington, D.C., and we'll be reflecting on the year and what's ahead, along with current priorities of NCGA's Market Development Action Team. Make sure to listen to AOA on Tuesday, July 18th. It's a show you don't want to miss.
If you miss an episode of AOA, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Agriculture of America on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy and the gutsy. The teachers, the growers, the builders. The skilled.
The wait is over. Dell Technologies Black Friday and July deals are live. Check out incredible savings on select laptops and more, like the XPS 15, powered by Intel Core processors. The XPS 15 brings you the perfect balance of power and portability